Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there. Keelan Pettis at Midwest Muscle P4P. Real talk in the house. Yeah. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsor foundation in El Mundo. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, and have Dez talk through your promo introduction and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through Dez's ice cream as she's running and talking through my promo, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, Dez and everyone else, let's talk.
Let's talk. Well, Kaylin, I just like the way you do your promos. I have to be a part of it. That's just kind of how it goes down. So, you know, you got to love me or leave me alone. That's how it works here.
We love you. You're my favorite
I have to say I was very impressed how you threw in the Spanish there with the El Mundo. We're being bilingual tonight. I was ready to toss in the El Jalado, but you didn't give me a chance.
Okay. I'll know next time. Compromiso.
All right, here we go. We're done cutting out. But we have a fantastic show tonight. We've got kind of a special show tonight. We have an incredible family with us who you're going to get to meet in just a second. And what's really great about this show is, you know, Kaylin and I talk a lot about family. You'll hear us in and out of different interviews and you know, always trying to touch on how our athletes balance family life, or we're talking about that support circle and how important it is to have that. It is a big thing. And especially in, I mean, it's a big thing across the board, but when you think about everything that bodybuilders go through, it's a doubly special thing, or at least in my view. And so tonight, that's what our show is going to be about. We are going to be talking about family in a little different realm, though. We've got Chris and Jen Gilbert, who are going to be on the show with us tonight, who are actually with us, and we're going to introduce them in a second. And also their daughter, Irina, and we may get a chance to hear from her a little bit later as well. But we're going to hear their adoption story, and it's actually an adoption story with kind of a twist, which I don't want to give away just yet. But we initially met Chris through the P4P family. He's a P4P-sponsored athlete, a natural bodybuilder, and have met he and his wife and his daughter at some shows, or at least I think I've met them at one show at the Windy City Naturals. They were there. And just a really neat group. So with that, I am going to turn this over to Chris and Jen. Say hi to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourselves.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. Hello.
Well, I'll start out because I know my wife gets nervous. So, my name is Chris, and I'm an over 50 competitor. Started back competing a couple of years back, and where I met KP and Desiree. Really enjoy being part of the P4P family, and I've competed in quite a few shows now, even won an ANBF Physique Pro card in the Masters division this year, so that was pretty cool. Just really passionate for the industry, enjoy being part of this fitness phenomenal group that we are involved with. I have a wife. My wife's name is Jen, and my daughter, Irina, who is a Russian-born. She came to be a member of our family at just over 1 year old in 2006, and she's 11 years old now. Jen, do you want to pick up from there?
Sure.
I put her on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. So I am Jen, Chris's wife, and I'm a photographer, so I'm self-employed. And Chris and I had wanted to start a family and weren't able to do so, so we started looking into adoption, and we had met some kids that had come from Russia, and we got to see the kids at a summer camp, and then initiated our process at that point.
Yeah, they used to, the adoption agency we went through would bring older children over in hopes that the host families that they stayed with for a couple of weeks would take interest in adopting these children that were farther along in the orphanages and looked to the point where they may not get adopted. So my wife and I, our hearts went out to these kids and really sealed the deal for us to go through Russia. We had read also what happens to children in the orphanage over there because they don't have the systems we have through the government. Kids in an orphanage in Russia are out on the streets at age 16.
Wow.
Good share of them end up, in drugs, suicide, have a hard time finding homes, end up in jail. Females will get pregnant, and then they just go back in the orphanage system. It's just a vicious cycle. And over there's no social security for these kids. They're just out on the streets. So the city Irina's from was over a million people. The name of the city is Novosibirsk. It's the South Siberian region. If you look at the atlas, look above Mongolia, you'll see Novosibirsk. It formerly was called St. Petersburg. I don't know why they decided to change the name, but they did.
Because they wanted to get rid of the monarchy. Anything dealing
right.
with monarchy.
Yeah. So we had a passion for adoption. We talked about it, and the doors just kept opening up, and we were like, God, yeah, this is what you want. So we stepped into it, and it was not an easy trek at all. It was very hard.
What an odd choice of words. Stepped in.
The Russian government and the United States have, you know, how they have, they're like two kids on the block that can't get along with each other. And from time to time, the Russian government would just say, we're not going to do adoptions for a while because we're not happy with the way the kids are ending up over in the U.S. and they would question how they're being treated, and so then you'd have to go through the process all over again. So it took a great amount of perseverance and patience to go through the process. For Jen and I, it was 27 months by the time Irina came home to live with us. So when we entered into the adoption process, she wasn't even a thought yet. She hadn't been born. Her biological mother wouldn't have even conceived her yet. So we had quite, it was a lot of work, and it was hard. And it was through faith and support from our family members that really helped us get through it.
We came to a point in, we were kind of at a crossroads where we didn't know if we were going to continue because the adoption process had been shut down for a good 14 months, and we were just waiting. We couldn't go forward because they had to recheck every agency out to make sure that the agencies were doing all the background checks and everything on potential parents. So they had basically, they told us it was like a judge's desk and millions of files on this desk, and whenever your agency's file got grabbed, that's when they would be able to reaccredit your agency. So you didn't know where in the stack your agency was. So our agency did not get reaccredited for 14 months. So we just sat. We couldn't go forward, nothing, for 14 months. And we were at that crossroads and things weren't moving, and we didn't know whether we should continue with the Russia adoption or if we should switch to another country. So we had talked with our agency and asked, you know, if we could
basically try another program as well. So we were enrolled into two programs. We were enrolled into the Philippine program and into the Russian program. And we prayed on it, and we just said, Lord, whichever direction you want us to go, that's the direction that's going to happen. And kid you not, 2 weeks later, Russia opened again for us.
Wow.
Well,
yes.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
Quick question, you know, because everybody's pretty much, this is new, really new to me, so, you know, when you talk about adoption and adopting, how do you start preparing, and what are the things you have to do at home first, you know, to make sure that, you know, because I know they want to know if you've got a suitable house. I mean, there's got to be much back mistakes.
You're right. There's criteria on what you have as far as financially. Our health had to be checked from top to bottom here in the U.S., you know, your house also becomes a foster home through the state of Wisconsin. You have to be certified for that. And then you fill out what's called a home study that talks about, you know, our backgrounds, our criminal backgrounds. I mean, you're checked for everything. Because you're not just dealing with adopting a dog from the Humane Society or a cat. You're dealing with a human being. And all three governments, the state of Wisconsin, the federal government of the United States, and the Russian government wants to make sure that these couples that are adopting have the best outcome for this child. So everyone takes full ownership and responsibility as a government. And so that you're not just dealing with Russia, you're dealing with your own home government too, and that's quite a process to go through. So a great question, but you know, to follow through on that, I can't avoid this part. One of the things that was happening here in the U.S. is some of the kids, there was a case where a child was abused by a American family, and the Russians found out about it. That was the purpose for them to shut down U.S. adoptions for so long. And what ended up happening is we had not only to do our medicals and our psychological evaluations here in the U.S., they decided that they wanted also their Russian doctors to check us out. So we had to go over and get a top-to-bottom evaluation on our health, our psychiatric health. It was very detailed, and they wanted to make sure that they weren't releasing a child to a bad situation. So what happened with that other family, we don't know the whole story behind it, but that was what we were told that caused the reason for that long of a duration shutdown. They wanted to make sure that these children were ending up in the right homes, and that the homes were being put through the right processes. So, it was quite a challenge for us to go through.
And as it should. Exactly, as it should. So did you have to go to Russia more than once then? Once to be evaluated and then to go back to meet your child?
Correct. Well, the way it worked at the time, you had to go over and have a total of 6 visits before you can even petition the court for an adoption. So what happened was we went over the first time to meet her, and then they did our evaluations, physical evaluations at the same time. So we were gone about
visits, by the 6 visits, Christine, like 6 days where we had to visit her, not 6 trips. We went two trips.
Right. One-on-one visits at the orphanage. And we would go in and they would bring Irina out, and we had another family with us, and they were adopting also here from the U.S. and they would meet their child, and we would just kind of play around in the nursery and let the kids play and just kind of see how it went. It was quite an experience when we first met Irina. I'll let Jen take it from there.
there's actually a video on Facebook. Some people have seen it. I know the viewers, not everybody's going to see it because not everybody's going to be a friend of mine. But but there's a video of the very first moment that we met Irina, and our interpreter comes through the door and basically tells Irina, your mama and papa have arrived. And she comes running into my arms, and she knew immediately, and she could just feel that connection. And you know, over there they don't get a lot of one-on-one time, so when they have somebody who just sits and plays with them for 2 hours at a time, all their attention, you know, that's heaven to them. And so we did that for 10 days. That was our first trip, and then we had to say goodbye and had to travel home so that the court could get all the paperwork together and everything. And we did a lot of videotaping while we were there because we knew that it would be really hard to leave her there and not have her here with us after seeing and spending time with her. So we had a lot of video to watch while we were at home. But I can't imagine the thoughts that went through her little mind, you know, after we left, because here's her mama and papa that have arrived, and all of a sudden they're not there anymore, you know. And our next trip didn't happen. That we left in September, about the 10th of September or the 11th of September, and our next trip to get her didn't begin until November 6th. So it was quite a time in between. Quite a time in between, you know, for us. But we had the time to put our nursery together and get things ready for her here at home. We hadn't done any of that because we knew that it would be hard, you know, once we were home. So we figured that would be a good thing to do when we came back from our first trip to keep us busy. And but we have no idea how she passed her time, you know, those couple months. But, yeah. You know, Chris could tell you quick how when we flew back home, I mean, when we flew back to Russia to get her, they had actually taken me and the mother of the little boy that the other family that traveled, they took the two moms out of the room, because when we arrived the first trip, the moms were who got to be greeted first. So they took the moms out of the room so that the dads could be greeted this time. And so I'm going to let Chris tell you that moment for him.
Well, I guess, you know, I appreciate that, Jen, but I think one of my favorite moments I really have to bring up is Irina's first cookie. in the orphanage, the kids had a diet of broth, and they would give them little croutons in their soup. There isn't much meat in that country. At all. Most of the country is anemic. She was anemic when we got her home. They don't have the resources we have here. So I had brought a box of the Barnum animal cookies with me, and I sat down and I handed her that cookie, and she looked at it. She didn't even know what it was. And she got one of those in her mouth, and she wanted the whole box. So, you know, it was quite fun to watch a child who had never seen things so simple for the first time. It was quite an experience to see that for me.
I bet.
Another interesting thing was we left her on 9/11, and we adopted her on 11/9, which was kind of neat. I don't know how that mirror image happened, but I feel a God's hand print was on that whole trip. And that was just his way of telling us. So.
Well, and it sounds like, so you're part of the story, a little over 2 years from beginning until you brought Irina home to what I've seen it called her forever family, to begin your life together as a family in the United States. But then there's actually even still more to this story, because while you guys are going through this process with Irina, there are two other families that you're not even aware of that are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many years was that?
It was
afterwards.
I believe it was 3 years. Three years later, after we had been home and had, you know, settled into our family and our routines, and I get this phone call, and it's our agency calling, and I thought it was a little bit odd that they'd be calling, because once we were home, you know, we had to still complete these letters to the Russian government through our agency, like at 3 months and 6 months, telling the different things that Irina had done and that, but that ended at 3 years. And so our 3 year final letter had been fulfilled. And so I didn't understand why our adoption agency were calling or was calling. And then the lady on the other end of the phone said, "We have some word about some family members of Irina." And I'm going, okay, you know, the things that instantly ran through my mind is, okay, does she have an older sibling that wants to adopt her? Things that you just, fears, I guess, that you have, like, okay, well, what are you going to tell me, you know? And she said, well, we have word that there's three girls and a boy. And I'm going, okay, so how are they related to Irina? Well, they're siblings.
Yeah, you're thinking, wow.
And I'm going, all right, so are you wanting to us to think about adopting them? Or, you know,
yeah,
I just really didn't know. I didn't know where the conversation was going. And it's a good thing I was sitting down, because I about fell off the chair. She said, well, there's two families here in Wisconsin that are in the process of adopting these kids, and they had just completed their first trip to see these kids, and they were notified that you had the older sibling, Irina, and they're curious to know if you would be interested in opening up your hearts to having a bigger family and letting them be a part of Irina's life, and you guys, you know, being a part of their kids' lives too. And I'm like, well, let me talk to Chris about that one. This is a lot of information for us. So I got off the phone with them, and I called Chris at work, and I'm like, Chris, are you sitting down? And he's like, yeah, why?
I was.
And I told him, I'll let him take it from here.
I was at work, and I was, like, shocked, to say the least. I almost fell right out of the chair. I never thought about Irina having any little brother or sisters, and just never entered my mind. And then all of a sudden, here it was presenting itself, you know. And by all means, right away, I said, well, obviously, we want to do that. We've had other members of the family that were adopted and came into our lives that were relatives of ours, a cousin. So it was almost like we'd already been prepared for something similar to this, but not quite this close to home, you know. So so we agreed, and the Russian government is very high on siblings being able to know each other. So they really wanted to know if we were going to have the approval of the kids being able to know each other as they grow up. And, you know, why would you not, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The adjustment for each one of them, how much more solid it is for them having each other. It's a pretty incredible story. Somebody told us we should be on Oprah.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Because I'm sitting here, I'm thinking back to the beginning of our conversation where you're talking about how difficult the process was and just everything that goes into it. Your child's not even born yet at the time you start the process. It takes you a little over 2 years, and now all of a sudden, two families are adopting her siblings that you didn't even know existed. I mean, how does all of that just come together like that?
Oh, God.
There's Chris, can I do this? There's more to the story.
Well, I wanted to really get that one in there because it's kind of complicated. I was going to make it simple to understand, but
there's more to the story. We had found out about Irina in June, and we were supposed to travel to meet her, but in Russia, some of the guidelines are that they want Russia families to be able to adopt first, so they have the kids on this waiting list, and they have to be on a waiting list for 6 months. And once the 6 months are up, then they open the child up to the possibility of an international adoption so that anywhere in the U.S. or around the world, this child can be adopted. And we had gotten our referral of Irina, had gotten pictures of her. We had signed documents saying, yes, we wanted to adopt her. And we were set to travel in July to meet her. And the beginning of July, we got a phone call saying that we couldn't travel because they noticed she hadn't been on this waiting list for 6 months. She had only been on it for 4 months. And somehow it snuck past four people in the court system, and her paperwork got past them and came up for referral, and it shouldn't have. And the soonest that we could travel to meet her would be September 5th. And that was the soonest she'd be available for international adoption. And they said, you know, if you still want to travel on the 16th of July, we will make that happen. We'll just get another child for you. And at that point, you know, we had already kind of bonded with the pictures. You know, we had had the pictures of her for 2 weeks by that point, and we had shared them with all of our family and knew that that was our little girl.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to be told that we can't go over and meet her until September, they said, would you like us to get you a different referral and you could still travel? And I said, I don't even have to talk to Chris about this one. I said, I will, just for the sake of coming together on that agreement, but I said, I can pretty much guarantee his answer is going to be the same as mine, is that we're going to be waiting until September because, you know, in the beginning of the process, we prayed whoever God had for us. And we knew that at that point that when we got that referral, that's who he had for us. And so if we were to take a different referral at that point, we'd always wonder what happened to Irina and where she was.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, and so
totally
we told them no. We told them no, and we just knew that if she was meant to be with us, she would not be adopted by anybody else. Mm-hmm. She would be available on that September 5th date. And we actually flew on September 3rd and met her on September 5th, the day that she became available.
Wow.
So we knew, you know, in the beginning of the process that, I mean, in the beginning of the referral, that God's hand was on it because it had her paperwork had gotten past all these people in the court system. And, you know, and then to find out that her younger siblings were both adopted into Wisconsin families and, you know, they're within 2 hour drive from us. And, you know, they could have been out in New York and they could have been in France, you know. It's God. That's the only answer there is, because there's so
Amen.
Many different places that those kids could have been scattered, but God wanted them all here.
Yeah, and they're quite a group of athletes too. On top of it, Irina has been in dance now for about 5 years, then six years. She does different genres depending on the season she's in, and two of her sisters are running. Girl closest to her, her name is Marley. Marley does, I believe, 5K runs already at age 10. And her little sister, Zenya, is only, what is Zenya, 5 now, 4? She started
older
in the running
that.
Club now, too.
yeah.
I lose track. I'm, you know, these years go by fast. And then the other two are part of a water ski show team where they actually do even the pyramid. And their father is grew up on a lake on water skis, and he's got them involved, and they did their first ski shows this year. So, yeah. So all five kids are very active kids and very much into athletics just what a wonderful outcome for all five of them, really. So all God ordained,
I mean, it truly is a miracle, because if you look at the gap in ages between them and how long this process takes from family to family, and they still wound up within 2 hours of each other.
Yeah, actually,
correct.
The kids are 1 year apart. You know, they're 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. So they're all close in age, and really a cool thing.
That it is. Yeah. So yeah. How? Go ahead, Kayla.
Everything's just falling into place, and that's how you know God's hand is in it, and just how
yep.
it was just so well structured to where it's a test to you, and, you know, basically, you know, just seeing how much do you want it and how much you want the commitment, because we forget that we're not, the Christian walk is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never, you know, like the yellow brick road like they make in the movies and where it's like sunshine and rainbows. It's not magical or mythical. It's real life. And we're always put to a point where we either become strengthened or learn where our strengths need to be structured to become better. And so, you know, I'm really loving what I'm hearing, because everything you guys are saying is designed to be where you have to improve, the child has to improve, and everybody basically grows better and stronger from it. So, with that understanding, and, you know, everything that's going on and all the information and all the challenges and all the doubts and fears, as parents, how did that increase your faith, and how did it increase your dependence on Him, meaning God?
Oh, you said a mouthful. Yeah, it really did increase our faith. But I'll tell you, the faith gets weak when you do all this work and then all of a sudden your paperwork's rejected, or you're told
mm-hmm.
that you may not even be able to adopt now, and you've been in a year into a process and spent thousands of dollars, and, you know, the monetary part of that is pretty high by the time you make a couple of trips overseas.
Yes.
And you have all the physical exams, and you have all your paperwork fees. I mean, you're dealing with three sets of governments that you have to have approval on. Each one of them have requirements. So, you know, setbacks, you know, and it really was a challenge. But, you know, the bottom line is it was like, you know, when one of us was down, the other one would pick things up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
When one was discouraged, the other one was there for the other. You know, it just, you know, whatever supply we needed, it came. You know, whether it was edification, encouragement, financial, you name it, things came in and kept things moving forward. So, yeah, it's a Christian walk, definitely, and it's definitely a measure of faith. But how much more we believe that the Lord can turn things around truly is a big lesson. And how things are being worked on that we don't understand why, but then at the
yes.
finish end, you see that looking back, you see how it was all pieced together and you didn't realize it.
Exactly. And so... how does it work? I mean, how often do you families get together? How do the kids react to each other? Do they, you know, kind of wish they all could be in one family? I mean, what kind of sentiments do they share? Does Irina share when they...
Yeah, we haven't had any of that where, that together.
They all
want to
live together.
They do, but they all appreciate their moms and dads. I think
yeah.
they... they view us more as aunts and uncles, and the kids understand that they're brother and sister. And you know, in our training on how to handle the adjustment process, we were taught through Lutheran Social Services, which was our agency, to be upfront with your child right away, so that they understand that they were born in our heart, and that they're as much as important to us as anybody, including biological children. So the kids understood that their parents love them, but they also understood they have each other too. And so we try to get together, I would say every other month. You know, as the kids are getting older and getting into sports and school activities and things, it's not as easy to get together as it used to be. When they're real small, you know, preschool age and under, we could get together a lot much easier. But now there's just so many more activities they're involved in. So I would say 5-6 times a year, we probably do something together, whether it be a summer picnic on a lake, or we go to a venue and just meet up and eat and let the kids play somewhere, or we go to each other's houses because we are pretty close together. So,
or a hotel with a water park. We try to get together as often as we can, because we know it's important for the kids, and it's important for us as the parents too, because, you know, it we're able to learn from each other and what's going on in their lives, and you know, Irina being the oldest, we can kind of let them know what's going on so that they kind of have a little bit of preparation as to what's coming for them too.
Mm-hmm. We're a family, you know, and the other parents are like our brothers and sisters to Jen and I. I mean, we consider ourselves a family, and you know, we get along so well. It is so of God how well we get along, and try to understand each other, and communication's been great. And you know, we're looking at how many years now, honey, have we been together with these as a family? 6, I think it is. So, you know, it's been a real miracle. And I don't think that most of the world would understand it. But for those of us that are involved in it, we definitely understand the spiritual connection that God has made in our lives. So another part about, I want to kind of get into the fitness a little bit. You know, Kaylin, when you had said about, you know, measures of faith and how you know, you're down, you're up, you know, and all those things that test you. Well, fitness is a lot like our Christian walk too.
Yes.
You know, you've got things that come up in your life that knock you down or trip you up, and you might fall backwards on diet or training, or you get an injury and you feel low about it. What I enjoy about the natural bodybuilding fitness group is they're people of very high integrity, very supportive group. Matter of fact, I posted that on social media today, thanking all those people that have been encouraging me since I started in this and was able to actually get to the pro level. Diet and fitness and all that's so much like a Christian walk. You struggle at times, but someone's right alongside. And I really believe that God leads us to taking care of our bodies and brings us into these realms so that we can get to know each other, keep ourselves strong, have something to do to keep us focused on taking care of ourselves and inspiring others. So I really believe that P4P, the natural world, is a very good place for people who are considering getting involved, getting into competitions, or just going, because of the positive success you get from just stepping out and doing something. So I just wanted to mention that. I really understood this even more so now that I'm helping other people with weight loss or helping them with doing their first competition. They go through the same hurdles we've all gone through, but it's much like being in your Christian walk. You know, you're going to fall at times, and you're not going to always, things are not always going to go well in the gym. They're just not. But I just wanted to mention that, I guess.
Well, I can just say amen to that as well. Yeah. And I know in a lot of discussions that Carolyn and I have had offline, we do talk to each other sometimes outside of the, the podcast. But, you know, I mean, I know I can speak for him on this one when I say that we agree. And, you know, just and thank you for sharing those words with us and with our listeners. Because that is an important message, and we both believe in health and wellness and just how all of that ties into your overall, you know, spiritual, emotional, mental walk in life as a whole. So it's good to hear other people who see the same things that we're seeing. And one more thing here, and I know that Irina has been listening in the background, and I didn't know if she wanted to get on the phone and share a few thoughts with us or if she's just comfortable with listening in the background.
Do you want to talk to Desiree? Okay, I'll put her on for you.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Irina. How are you?
Good.
So we have been... Hey, I know, she sounds so cute. We have spent the last little time with your mom and your dad, and they've been sharing their story on how you guys came to be a family and how you have had the opportunity to still be close to your siblings in the area. And I just wanted to say that I am so happy that you are with your mom and dad because you guys all sound like a perfect fit together. How has it been for you that you've been able to be so close to your sisters and your brother?
It's like really like surprising. Like I was, it's like one in a million to be able to have like my sisters and brother like all in the same, like in U.S. or Wisconsin. And so it's really cool.
I think that is very cool also. And your dad tells us that you are into dance, all kinds of dance. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what's your favorite genre that you like?
Okay, so like right now I'm doing POM. This is my first year in POM. I like hip-hop and jazz.
Oh.
So hip-hop is the one I've been in the most, and, like, I thought that maybe I should try something new this year, so I decided to take POM.
Wow.
Very cool.
She talks so much older than her years. I'm really impressed with that. How you doing, Irina?
Good.
Now, you are in a situation that you can see all the blessings. How do you feel towards your mom and dad, knowing they love you so much and are willing to do so much for you?
I'm really thankful, like, for all the things that they had to go through. And I just love them so much.
Well, and I love you so much too. I know it. So, but I have one more question for you. It's a little bit off topic, a little bit, but what do you think about your dad being a natural bodybuilder
and a pro?
And a pro.
I think it's awesome that I get to tell people that my dad won like a lot of medals and that he's a professional bodybuilder. Well, a professional.
And that's so awesome because your mom's a professional photographer, so she gets to capture all of your moments, your dance, your dad's bodybuilding. You guys are all just an amazing family all together. So Well, thank you for getting on the phone with us tonight and sharing your thoughts, and maybe we'll get a chance to see you at a competition with your family in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you. Bye.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you,
you
too.
You still with us?
I'm here.
Thanks. You're here. Chris, are you back on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, very sweet. I can have a little snippet of why you two are so much in love. So just congratulations on this whole thing, and just thanks so much for taking the time to share your story with us tonight.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for having
One thing I would like to mention, you know, if anybody at all is interested in adoption or just needs or is in the process and needs someone to talk to, has questions, needs encouragement, feel free to reach us on Facebook, because we're probably on there millions of times a day talking with friends and so forth. So feel free to reach out to us, because it's a beautiful thing. And when you can take a child out of the vicious cycle of what they're in, it's a tremendous miracle in itself. So.
Yes, it is. So
thanks
again, guys. Hey, Jen, real quick, I want to say good luck with your knee surgery. I know that's coming up. Well, I'll be praying for a speedy recovery. So
thank you.
Wishing you well on that front. And Chris, we're hoping the rest of 2016 in your improvement season is rock solid, because we're looking forward to seeing you on stage again in 2017. So
thanks, guys.
So you guys have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Sounds
good.
All
right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Wow, what a great story. I know. I don't know what I expected when they agreed to be on the show, but definitely appreciated that opportunity.
Who knows Oprah? Oprah missed out.
We're going to have to send her the recorded audio for this show, so she knows just how much she's missed out, because it's just phenomenal. I mean, even though those kids are only 1 year apart, and the youngest, and they have to be 6 months on a list before they can be released for international adoption, and they still wound up together?
Come on.
I mean, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Come on. I mean, it is a miracle. How does that happen?
But God.
And they all know each other. Because these kids, they were just, so the Gilberts were just finishing, wrapping up their obligation for Irina as far as reporting back to the Russian government and all of that before the last one was even born. So all of this is going on. And unfortunately, it sounds like her parents were trapped in that cycle that they talk about, where they have children, they're back in the system, they have children, they're back in the system. But miraculously, there was just so many things that fell into place that this family was able to stay united, and that is truly a miracle.
And this is a personal note. Being that I didn't grow up with my birth mother and basically my stepmother, I can really speak from the heart and say it is such a relief and such a joy to be welcomed into a home by a stranger and get true love. It is really something that changes a child's whole dynamic and personality. And I'm a living witness that that's true, because I still fondly send messages. I used to write letters before text messages. I used to write letters and remind my mom, and that's my stepmother, about how it just meant the world to me to have a second chance at childhood, because that's something that children lose when it comes to adoption, before adoption, I'm sorry, and when it comes to orphanages, because it's a system. And we have to realize, because, you know, people forget that in that system, people are going to work. They're not raising children. They're going to a job, and they're clocking out and going home. And there's a lot of times, and I've said this millions of times, where I said nurses, police, doctors, teachers, social workers, and personal trainers can never go to work. You have to go to your passion. You have to go to your love, because when it becomes a job, it becomes so much less.
Yep. Well said. Well said. I don't know, I walked away with a blessing from this show, for sure.
Yes. Wow.
It definitely left me warm and fuzzy. I mean, not only their story, but then just tying in the whole health and wellness and his passion and, you know, that just that connection.
Oh, wait, now hold on, because he said something, and if anyone doubts how I feel about this, especially with Chris basically bringing this up, take time and go to my notes on Facebook, and there's one that I wrote years ago about Jim and God and God and Jim and church, how they all connect and how they all, because anything you do that's your passion, I said, we all have a window to Christ. We all have a window that basically opens up everything to either that stepping up in life, or gaining knowledge that we didn't really understand because we didn't have that window to look through and to have it all make sense. And fitness side, I said, you got people that know computers. You have people that know cars. You have people that, you know, other than health and fitness, but it's still a passion that can guide them to the understanding of what they're really looking for, and that's truth. And we can make things, try to make sense, or we can actually see and know the truth. And that is learned from basically gaining more and more knowledge of something that doesn't make sense, like Chris said in the beginning, but it sure works out if you just keep working at it.
Amen. Amen to that. So, Natty Nation, our P4P family, all of our listeners, I just want to say live blessed. Kaylin, you have any last thoughts?
I'm good. I'm really good. I got to get some tissue because I can't go into the gym looking like this.
So go ahead and throw out your shout out to Snickerdoodle.
Yeah. Come on, guys. It hands down. I mean, you figure, all right, we don't have the West Coast yet, but the East Coast chimed in for Snickerdoodle. Now we got the Midwest, me, Snickerdoodle. Yeah. Yeah, how about it? So, you know,
oh, there you go.
Hashtag Snickerdoodle.
Check out the Midwest Muscle Facebook page. We're still taking votes on the color of Kaylin's posing suit. Right now, the P4P Fruit Crunch Red is winning. So if we have some folks out there who are leaning towards the P4P Cotton Candy Blue, you need to get in here and vote, because you're going to be deciding what we're going to see Kaylin in on stage. So get out there and let us know what color he should be wearing. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Snickerdoodle.